Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from the triune God. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, you may remember, I said reading the Bible is like riding a four-horse chariot, a quadriga. And that's because each of the horses is slightly different, and there are at least four slightly different ways of reading the Bible. The first being the literal way, the second being the moral way, the third being the allegorical or symbolic way, and the fourth being the anagogical, which is how does the text reflect what's going on in eternity, what's going on in heaven. And so I'd like to come to the parable that we all know so well, the parable of the Good Samaritan, and apply some a different approach from the normal one. Firstly, there's not too much of a literal understanding about the parable of the Good Samaritan. We do know that Jesus is telling a story. He's not giving a news account. So despite there being an inn on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho called the Good Samaritan Inn, despite that, it is not a literal historical story. The moral approach is the one that we're probably most used to, where we identify ourselves with that Good Samaritan and that command to go and do likewise. And then we're often led to have a sort of bewildering feeling of how do we reach out to those in need? Do we give money, for example, to those who beg, or should we not? Do we withhold that money because of how they may spend it? Indeed, how do we serve a person well when we don't know that person as well as we might? The moral, the usual way of understanding this story. But today I would like to approach it from the allegorical or the symbolic angle. And in doing so, I'd like to draw upon the teaching and the writing of an early Christian writer and martyr called Origen. And also, though, I don't want to be stuck in that early Christian period. I want to think, what does a symbolic reading of this parable of the Good Samaritan teach us about how we could act and be enriched today? So the basic starting point for a symbolic reading of the parable is very different from that popular moral reading. In the moral reading, as I say, we often self-identify with the Good Samaritan. We go out and we do something. In the symbolic reading, we are invited to identify not with the Good Samaritan, but with the wounded man. And Origen, that early Christian writer, said the wounded man was Adam. And in being Adam, the wounded man, if you like, sums up the whole of humankind. And this wounded man, you may remember, is going from Jerusalem to Jericho. He's going from the holy city, the place of the temple. So he's going from heaven to a very worldly place, to Jericho. It is, if you like, a pattern of the fall or the descent of humankind, falling away from our potential being with God. And in descending, Adam, humankind, is buffeted by worldly powers, the worldly powers being represented by the robbers. We today get buffeted. We today live in societies where there are structures of sin, where we're encouraged to be greedy and overconsume, and that has an impact on the environment, or we are encouraged to enter into very atomized structures where we think about ourselves in an individualistic way. Compassion, empathy, is eroded. We become very self-centered. And we end up carrying wounds, the sins and the faults that we have committed. The divine image within us, if you like, becomes marred. And having been buffeted, we are left half dead. The seductions of our society, which promise so much, have indeed brought decay and are not life-giving. An example of this is when I was offered this job, this post, the bishop at the time, Bishop Richard, said to me that he was worried about my immortal soul. He's worried that I might end up half dead, I suppose. And he's worried about my mortal soul because there are so many seductions within the city. And he's recalling that I'm not meant to spend all my time being seduced by the city, but actually often speaking truth to power and being in a different place. So we end up often half dead. You know, that moral, our soul is corroded in some way. How do we come fully alive again? Well, the priest walks by on the other side. The priest represents the law. The Levite walks by on the other side. The Levite represents the prophets. In a contemporary situation, we might say the inherited norms of our society do not indeed bring relief. They pass over our most profound needs. You know, we cannot just be healed by what is actually corrupting us. The Samaritan who comes to the injured man is representing Christ. The incarnation where Christ descends from heaven to our human condition. And indeed, the word for Samaritan in Hebrew is very similar to the word for guardian. And Christ is thought of, following the pattern of the Psalms, as Israel's guardian. So if you like, our guardian comes down to us. And that's the Good Samaritan coming to us. And then oil and wine are poured into the wounds. Twofold oil and wine, twofold main sacraments of the church, baptism and Eucharist, the healing sacraments of the church. We, the wounded man, Adam, is then placed on the donkey. The donkey representing, according to Origen, the flesh of Christ. That the actual flesh, because we go back to a passage from Isaiah. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. So it's often been referred to as Christ, although it's written before Christ. So the donkey bears us, bears our infirmities, bears our diseases, bears our battered, broken, half-dead body. It's a reminder, if you like, that we can't earn our own salvation. A contemporary reminder would be very much the sort of AA philosophy, the 12-step program philosophy, where we realize that we can't sort out our own problems. We have to rely and turn to a higher power, however we understand that power. So the wounded man is brought on the donkey to the inn. The inn represents the church. And according to Origen, the church has to be open to all. And he quotes Jesus' saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." There is to be no exclusion in the church. And that should influence our current debates on gender and sexuality. No exclusion in the church. The innkeeper can be thought of as either the leader of the church, ensuring that the church remains open. Leaders must speak, if you like, to the needs of our society, not to the needs of the church. We don't preach to the converted. Or the innkeeper can be thought of as the angel of the church, a mysterious figure in the book of Revelation. Each church had its angel. Think about the angel of the church being, if you like, the character or the nature of that church. And then the Samaritan promises to return and give more money if more money is needed. For Origen, that was the second coming, the coming of God's presence. It is like when we pass from this world, we come into the presence of God in the eternal. The second coming, the existential question of every age, not just the contemporary age, the what is it all about question. Now, Origen, you might think, is all very clever. But what difference does a symbolic understanding actually make? And I think it's this. If we have just a moral understanding, where we are the Samaritan, we are the doer, and often we are quite patronizing, going out and doing our stuff. Yes, we should become Christ-like in the sense that we are told to go and do likewise. We should do things, but our starting point in the symbolic reading is very different. We start as the wounded man, not as a Samaritan. So we start with a knowledge of our fallenness. We start with a knowledge of our exclusion. Remember the Levite and the priest walk by on the other side. So we start with the knowledge that we are all outsiders in some way. And we start with the knowledge that we are dependent upon God. We have burdens that need to be borne. Go and do likewise, says the parable. Go and do likewise, not because we have the ability, but because we know our inability. We know our own brokenness, and therefore we identify with the one who is metaphorically licking her wounds. Early Christianity spread quickly. It spread so quickly, and studies of why that was often emphasize the caring nature of Christians. The Christians knew that they were broken, that they were outsiders. So they would minister to people in epidemics, because Christians knew their need of healing. They would minister to people without social distinction, because Christians knew that in reality they were living in poverty. We are Christians because of our wounds, not because of our privilege.